Welcome to the Darlington Extra podcast channel, working with communities, staff and partners to provide positive outcomes.
Hello and welcome to the Darlington Extra podcast. My name is Martin Webster and I'm the Workforce Development Manager here in the People Group. I'm joined by Amy, who is one of our experts in practice in Darlington Borough Council. And the Experts in Practice project is a research-based project with the National Institute for Health and Care Research and Newcastle University. And today we're going to be talking about self-neglect. So I'll let Amy introduce herself.
Hi, thanks Martin. I'm Amy. I work in adult social care with Darlington Borough Council, and I was fortunate enough to be accepted to the Expert in Practice programme to look at self-neglect.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And you're very welcome joining us here today. So we're going to be asking a few questions and Amy's going to be giving us a bit of an introduction into what self-neglect is and how it impacts people, particularly from a Darlington sort of perspective. Okay, so first question, Amy, what do we mean by self-neglect?
So it's a really broad topic. People think that, you know, the very nature of self-neglect, the definition is that self is us, and neglect is a category of abuse, is that people are not looking after themselves, basically. So when kind of focusing on the research that I've done, I've looked at using terminology as people not looking after themselves, because that is essentially what self-neglect is. Some part of that person is not doing something that we would expect ourselves to do on a daily basis. Our personal care, whether we're eating enough, whether we're drinking enough water, whether our home environment is the way that we want it to be. So self-neglect encompasses all of that. It also encompasses hoarding, which is a topic on its own right, because it is classed as a mental disorder. So we focus on self-neglect and hoarding separately because they do have separate responses that are required. But self-neglect in a nutshell is us as people not caring for ourselves the way that we should. Is kind of layman as I can put it.
Thanks, Amy. And I suppose there's lots of kind of different factors around why that can happen as well. And I suppose, again, as practitioners, there's lots of things that we talk about that may be quite confusing for some of the people that we work with. I think that we've been talking just off the podcast about language and the importance of language. So that's my next question, really. How important is language in terms of self-neglect, and how can we change the narrative around it sometime?
Yeah, it's absolutely so key, because language can be a barrier, and it also can be a gateway to working with people. As part of the research that I did, the study, I asked people what they understood by self-neglect. So it's the individual's perspective. This study focuses on the individual. And there was stark differences between professionals' use of language when we ask to describe self-neglect and the individuals. So some examples from a professional perspective, we had the words malodorous, dishevelled, unkempt, malnourished, offensive odour. These are all words that have been used to describe a person that we work with. And one of the things that jumped out to me was that they're negative. All of them are negative words. And we then expect these people to open their homes and their lives up to us when we're using such negative language. So when I asked the individuals what they viewed self-neglect to be, their responses were very much not looking after yourself, not eating properly, not caring for yourself, not practicing self-care. And those were much more positive and much more open kind of responses that would allow us as practitioners to be able to attempt to engage with those people. So I like to frame it as, we're worried that you're not looking after yourself, rather than we've identified that you're self-neglecting. And so, language is absolutely a barrier. And it's one of the things that I wasn't expecting to come out as a finding from the study, but I'm glad that it has.
And that's just such a massive difference in terms of even you talking about that there and saying those words at the beginning that were very kind of negative, professional language. It just felt very cold. And I know that the way that we're working in Darlington, and I guess the way that we want to work across all of social care, is around strength-based work and strength-based language, strength-based approaches, relationships. And if we can form those relationships early and connect before the content, then that gives us the opportunity to kind of do some really, really powerful work with people, because we try and get them on board, we try and get them on side, rather than use that type of language.
Absolutely. And I think it does lead into the way that we speak to people allows us to work in that strength-based way, which we are so passionate about in Darlington. And quite a lot of the words that were brought up from a professional perspective were from other agencies. They weren't, you know, just as they were not from social care, they were from other professions, which shows that we maybe need to kind of branch out with some of our partners that we work with and kind of impart this knowledge on them to allow them to be able to work more strengths-based with people.
Maybe that's another podcast then. We can look at that in the future. You've been doing so much research. What have your initial findings been?
So the initial findings from the study that I've been undertaking. So the study was looking at individuals that have been identified by adult social services as neglecting themselves, not looking after themselves. And one of the reasons that I wanted to do this is I wanted to try and find out why this happens. There must be, for every person that has neglected themselves at one point, a core reason. So we've looked at kind of what has led the person to neglect themselves, to not look after themselves. And quite a lot of the things that have come out of the discussions that I've had with people, because we did one-to-one interviews. I did one-to-one interviews with people. And quite a lot of the things that came out of it are what we would expect: mental health, physical health, illicit substances, alcohol, having a caring role, suffering grief. All of these things impact the person's ability to focus on themselves. Some of the things that made it harder for people to then access services and to seek help were things like self-awareness. So people just not acknowledging that they're actually neglecting themselves and that there is a problem. One of the people that I spoke to had a difficulty with her weight, and she very much felt that because of her weight, she couldn't access the services that she needed. And her relationship with services, because of that, broke down. So there are a lot of factors that will compound the initial, it's cause and effect. You know, we've got a cause, but we've also got an effect because of these other circumstances that these people are experiencing. And listening to, there was 12 interviews that I did, and listening to all 12 of those people, the common theme throughout all of them was that at some point they didn't feel that they were worthy of looking after themselves for one reason or another.
That's really interesting. And I think one of the things that we try and do, I guess, across all of adult and children's social care is promote independence and promote the choice and listen to the voice. And sometimes, I guess, people that are in that type of position feel quite disenfranchised or disempowered, and they don't feel as though people are listening to them and they can't really see that kind of way forwards. And I think that, like you say, it's our role to support people and to use the right kind of language to help them be as independent as possible for as long as possible, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In terms of kind of supporting people, what services are out there and what do individuals say that they need from these services?
That was one of the questions that I really wanted to focus on when doing the interviews with people. What is it that services can do for you? And that doesn't just mean adult social care. That means kind of wider resources available. And quite a lot of the answers were around, some people didn't want to continue to be moved. They were moving from accommodation to accommodation, and they felt that was impacting their ability to look after themselves. Some people wanted kind of a check-in to make sure that somebody was checking in on them. You know, these people were living alone, no friends, no family, no link with the community, no link with, you know, a social circle. So they wanted people to be able to kind of check in with. A lot of the answers were they just wanted people to be open and honest with them. You know, if there was a problem, they wanted them to come out and have that discussion and be very frank and upfront about it. And one lady in particular that I interviewed felt that the professionals that were going out to see her, she had a physical health difficulty. And because of the level of neglect, they focused on that rather than the physical difficulty that was happening. And she felt really disempowered about that because the neglect wasn't the reason that she'd rang these professionals. So it gives you an idea that people want to be acknowledged for different reasons. A person isn't bound by how they look or how they care for themselves. There are so many other kind of facets of people that need to be focused on to look at the whole person. And I think very much from what I gathered from interviews is that people wanted to be listened to. They wanted to have somebody that they could talk to. They wanted to maybe have some practical support where they could maybe seek some advice on creating healthier routines, you know, putting plans in place where they shower on a specific day or they clean on a specific day. So practical kind of hands-on tasks and doing something that we do very well in Darlington and doing things with people instead of to them. You know, so there are a lot of resources available, but I think it's about focusing on the individual and what it is that they need, rather than a generic, this is what we can offer you.
That makes total sense. And I think it highlights the importance of all of those key partners and key players across the board in terms of that holistic approach, whether it's family, if they have family, whether it's kind of community, whether it's organizations and kind of individuals, people all have a role to play. And if there's if we can get that kind of power of the voice and action and being human across, it's very much about kind of people first, professional second. Mm-hmm. It's making that kind of connection with people. Brilliant. That was a really, really interesting introduction, Amy. Thanks very much.
No problem.
Okay, that's the end of our podcast today. Thanks very much to Amy for joining us, and join us again on the Darlington Extra podcast.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Darlington Extra podcast on our Darlington Extra podcast channel. For more great content, make sure you subscribe now.